presentation is by Dr. Roy Pleasance. He is adjunct assistant professor at Duke University in the pulmonary division and also a research associate with the Durham VA Medical Center Pulmonary Department. He received his BS in pharmacy from UNC Chapel Hill and his PharmD from the Medical University of South Carolina. He is currently the co-chair of the North Carolina COPD Task Force and was past chair of the Asthma Alliance of North Carolina. He is extensively involved with state and national epidemiologic initiatives regarding obstructive lung diseases. Today he's going to talk about applying surveillance tools to help define and target COPD.
Excellent. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Thank you, Winston, for inviting me. Hopefully I, among the four speakers, can engage you in this particular topic. And so literally I want to share how I've made an effort to sort of bridge the gap between healthcare and public health, which I think is sort of the way to go after this particular disease. So a lot of this has already been stated, but I guess one message I would like to share with you of the top five causes of death. COPD is the most preventable cause of death from a chronic disease. And I think that's a very powerful statement in terms of the opportunity to impact on this disease. But in terms of the epidemiological data, we've had NHANES, we've had healthcare databases, but really before the BRFUS a few years ago, we really didn't have any state or local data. So as Ms. Sheridan alluded to, different states have used the BRFUS. As you know, it's used at state as well as national and even local levels. Typically, each state has at least 10,000 respondents that participate in this. Strengths include, altogether, it's the world's largest annual health survey. And it can be state-based, and a lot of this data can be used locally as well. And then one thing I think is sort of lost with the BRFUS is the patient's perspective. How many large epidemiological studies do we have that really comes from the patient perspective? Whereas weaknesses are, well, self-reported data, and there's a fair amount of error of that. And then maybe only half the people who pick up the phone ultimately participate in the survey. So in any event, when I helped form a state coalition called the North Carolina COPD Task Force back in 2005, it took almost no time at all. We really just come to the conclusion we had very little epidemiological data that we could use to define COPD in the state of North Carolina. So we went about through our collaboration with the State Division of Public Health to use the 2007 BRFUS to include some COPD questions, and it really, I would say, not extremely evidence-based questions, but just common sense questions, and it turns out these questions end up being very valid, and I won't go over them, but it's basically, has anybody ever told you you had COPD? A breathing test to diagnose COPD? Does it affect your quality of life? And so forth. So we were the ones that really, myself and a variety of different people came up with the original BRFUS questions. And this was the first publication that came out of the BRFUS data set for COPD. This was MMWR back in 2012. But some of the things that it points out is COPD versus non-COPD. The overall health status is much worse. And then a lot of people with COPD end up being disabled for a variety of different reasons. So this is just an example of a view from the patient's perspective about their disease. And then in 2011, the BRFUS rolled out across the country. It was coordinated by the CDC, funded by the NHLBI. And then ultimately, just I think the beginning of this year, this map of the COPD prevalence first came out. And one of the things I want to point out, I'm from North Carolina. Cosgrove's down here. I guess Katie's up here. So in any event, if you look right there, there's a dark county right there. And we're going to come back to that in terms of taking this geographic epidemiological data and trying to go after the disease. So here's the North Carolina data from combined 2000 7 and 9. And as you can see, we have certain parts of the state where you have a higher prevalence, like this red area here. Ends up having the highest prevalence in the state. We never could figure out about this area right here. It's a fascinoma that year after year of the BRFUS, this rural part of the state has very low rates of COPD. One of these days I'm going to figure that out, but I haven't had time. One of the things I want to point out is, so we took this data, we said, well, now that we've got this data, what are we going to do? So we ended up identifying a county that I'm going to tell you about this experience. It's this county right here. It looks sort of like a mirror image of Illinois. But they had a 9% prevalence of COPD. So we helped define the problem, and then we took that data and we said, well, we're going to throw a dart there and see what we can accomplish for COPD. So in any event, we're one of the recipients of the NHLBI Learn More, Breathe Better grant or subcontract in 2009. And so we collaborated with the ALA of North Carolina. One of the things we quickly learned, if we were going to go into a community for COPD, there's almost nothing published. There's a ton of stuff published about, well, you go into a community to target asthma, but there's very little published experience about how do you go into a community and go after COPD. So that's one of the things that was very obvious to us. And then we also felt that a combined public health, healthcare effort was the way to go after this disease. So we went about targeting a variety of different groups in this one county in North Carolina with a 9% prevalence of COPD. So as I pointed out, notably higher rates of COPD than most other parts of the state. It's largely rural, two small cities, relatively poor part of the state. There were 15 primary care practices, no specialty practices, no pulmonologists. There were two hospitals. And then in the next county, there was a VA hospital, which ends up being relevant because they deal with a fairly large COPD population. And then there was a bunch of pharmacies. But also, we had a local political advocate who was the Speaker of the House in North Carolina Senate. So he ended up being the honorary chair of our COPD initiative. So in any event, some of the things we did, trying to reach out to the public, sort of that public health approach of things, we went to two large community festivals. One of them was called the Lexington Barbecue Festival. Lexington, North Carolina, a lot of people say is the capital of barbecue in southeast United States. And so we did a bunch of screening and patient education and so forth. We also reached out through the media, through radio PSAs provided by the Learn More, Breathe Better program, as well as a local newspaper article. And then we also did some state-level sort of outreach through cable TV that went across the state, including our particular target county. So, any event, what's going on here? Okay, so any event, this is a repeated slide somehow or another. I'm not sure that got in there. But one of the things we did, we said, well, we're going to advertise to the public. So Lexington, North Carolina is on Interstate 85, and so we decided to put up a billboard. And, of course, we try to be creative to get people's attention, recognizing that Lexington was the barbecue capital. So this gentleman is a COPD patient who's now actually a national spokesman for lung transplantation. So this is part of our public outreach that we had. We also reached out to the county health department. My experience with county health departments in North Carolina, they do a lot with their school nurses. They have a variety of different interventions in their community. They're not necessarily highly connected into the COPD world, but some of the things they were able to do is help us reach out to different groups, such as the newspaper. They introduced us to the Indigent Clinic in the county, which ended up being a big introduction. And then all of a sudden, they started including COPD in their annual health assessments need survey. So they started paying attention to the disease. The state tobacco branch was very useful to us in the intervention in this particular county. They went into a hospital and helped set up a tobacco quit team. And they also helped facilitate the use of the tobacco quit line. And let's not forget the value of the BRFUS, Division of Public Health, that brought us to that county in the first place. Some of the provider interventions, we got the providers outside their work setting where they could sort of interact with each other. So we had a program for the physicians and other prescriber types. We also had off-site evening program for pharmacists. We went into as many practices as we possibly could, trying to engage the physicians, educate them, provide some tools in their hands. We went into that free clinic and gave them a spirometer. This Inogent clinic didn't have a spirometer, which ends up being huge. And then we also thought that that VA hospital in Knicks County, they deal a lot with the COPD population. We also needed to go there. So in any event, some of the impact, we estimated roughly 1 million people drove by the billboard on I-85, so hopefully they got a little bit of clue of not smoking. We reached out to 12,000 people with our newspaper article. We screened roughly about 250 people at the two county health fairs, and this is very surprising to me. So after our intervention in 09 and the beginning of 10, the rate of ED visits and hospitalizations for COPD tripled. And is it because the number of COPD patients tripled in the county? No, the number of new diagnoses went up markedly. And so it actually increased healthcare utilization through this public awareness. And then the quitline usage went up by 50% by our intervention. So next we thought, well, year two, learn more, breathe better, campaign has some funds. So now what we're going to do is throw the dart at the low-income population. And so we connected with the free clinic system of North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and undertook a two-month demonstration project where we're going to go in there and get some experience about screening for COPD and so forth. So we got them spirometers, we educated the staff, we engaged them in the tobacco quit line, we developed a screening COPD questionnaire for them, but ended up not going through IRB, ended up being a quality improvement project, so therefore we could never really publish the data. So out of these seven clinics, two in Virginia around Christiansburg, South Carolina we had two free clinics, and North Carolina we had three. Those clinics up around Christiansburg rocked. They screened a bunch of patients. And then if you look at the number of patients they screened, the VA clinic number one, 125, 27% of them new diagnosis of COPD. That's like one out of five. That's a big impact intervention. But they didn't do a very good job with the quit line, and the reason being is that the quit line in Virginia is very bureaucratic and not very user-friendly, and so that didn't fly very well. But then when you got into South Carolina, there was one particular clinic that did real well, not only in getting new diagnoses of COPD, but referring a bunch of patients to the tobacco quit line. And then some of these clinics didn't do so good. Maybe they did better with the quit line and so forth. But as a consequence, probably more than 100 new diagnoses of COPD in these seven clinics. We sort of helped them set up a process in these what I call ground zero patient care settings for COPD in the state. So we decided, well, what can we do next? So we got to thinking, well, the BRFUS allows us to define COPD and the impact of COPD. Why don't we use the BRFUS to screen for COPD? There's screening questionnaires that have been developed for COPD, and I would suggest to you there's very few big diseases that you can screen with a few questions in BRFUS and have a high probability of identifying who has that disease. So I think it's fairly unique. So what we did, there's like four or five published COPD population screening tools. We put them in a big pot of stew and stirred them up, and voila. We came up with a number of questions, and these are the questions we came up with using the BRFUS to screen for COPD, that is, people who are high risk for COPD. And again, here's the questions, respiratory questions largely, and then the number of years of tobacco use, which, believe it or not, the BRFUS doesn't have it in there. So this is the way we define people who are high risk for COPD. Do they have more than 10 years of tobacco use? Were they short of breath most days, or a productive cough most days in the last month, or they had breathing problems affecting their physical activities in a significant sort of way in the last year? So what we found was in South Carolina, Cosgrove is one of my partners, we found the COPD prevalence to be 9% roughly, but we also found that 8% were at high risk for having COPD, 8%. And if you look at those experiences in those free clinics, probably 25% of those really do have COPD. Still, that's a lot. As we all know, females are more likely to have COPD than males, but what we found in the high risk, actually males are more likely to be at high risk than females, so they're not getting the diagnosis. Also, African Americans were more likely to be prevalent in the high risk group, and then also people who had concurrent asthma were more likely. And the interesting thing is the predominant symptom in those people who were in high risk for COPD was a frequent productive cough, whereas the predominant symptom in the COPD group was dyspnea. So dyspnea is what drives that patient to go to the doctor to get diagnosed with COPD. It's not that frequent productive cough, which is oftentimes a harbinger of developing dyspnea. So one of the things we looked at this data, I'm almost done here, is we looked at the relationship between the prevalence of the different diseases. You see a very strong linear relationship with COPD and years of tobacco use. Asthma, there's really not much of a linear relationship between the prevalence of asthma and the numbers of years of smoking. CAD, you see a better relationship and pretty much a flat relationship for stroke, except when you get greater than 40 years of smoking. But again, if you just look at COPD, the most impactful disease with smoking, that's another bit of evidence to help support that. So the other thing that we did with this, and Cosgrove has sort of shown a little bit about this, we mapped out COPD and then we mapped out high risk for COPD in South Carolina, sort of thinking back to what we did in North Carolina and then implementing something to target that, which we haven't done yet. But if you look at certain parts of the state, you look at the lightest parts. Down here is Charleston, a more affluent, educated population. And then you get to the middle of the state up there around Richlands, where Columbia is, a more educated, affluent part of the state. When you get out in the more rural parts of South Carolina, the less affluent, you get into higher rates of COPD. And then if you look at the high-risk map, you see some similarities. Charleston, relatively low rates down here, but that pattern didn't necessarily hold for the middle part of the state, Region 3, or Richland. But then if you look at the two maps together, you look at certain parts of the state. Well, if I'm going in South Carolina and I want to target COPD, or I want to target high risk for COPD, you know, where should I go? And if you combine the prevalence data with the number, the actual census, the actual population, Upper State North Carolina, I would say region number 2 is where you need to go in South Carolina to have the biggest impact on diagnosed and undiagnosed COPD. So now where are we at? So the North Carolina COPD Task Force, we took this at-risk module, and now we're expanding it to 4 states and Berthus in 2015, Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Texas. 20% of all Medicare hospitalizations in the country is what those 4 states represent. And then something I'm even more excited about, the Affordable Care Act and the Community Health Needs Assessment Survey. This is ground zero impact for COPD. So as you may know, Affordable Care Act requiring all nonprofit health systems to conduct a CHNA every 3 years. And they do this in different ways, but we are working, the North Carolina COPD Task Force is working with one health system to where we've incorporated this at-risk module into their 1,300-person health survey, and we're going to take that data and go into the area right around this health system to target COPD. So that's really the next level where we're at. So I'm done. Sorry. Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy. That's another good example of collaboration between the states, as Kate had mentioned, in terms of her coalition with Ohio and Michigan. So there's a lot of work that can be done at the community level between states.